The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It's 17 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to today's Daily Briefing. My name is Sam. And joining me is Becky. How are you, Becky?
Good. It's nice to have you back today, Sam.
Yeah, no problem. How's your day been, last couple of days been?
Been pretty good. I'm enjoying the really nice weather, opening up everything, smelling lilacs, things like that. And for the first time today, I heard some neighbors just out in their yard, and I heard a baby laughing and playing with bubbles. And it's been so long since I guess heard kids. I feel like it's a little bit of, you know, children of men.
Is handing out laptops not fulfilling your student interaction quota?
It is, but our kiddos tend to be a little bit shy. Understandably, obviously. I mean, you can't see someone smile necessarily underneath a mask. And if my glasses have gone dark and look like sunglasses and my eyes are obscured. So I can understand there have been some students that are a little bit shy. So that interaction is still probably just as weird for anyone else that hasn't really interacted with many people outside of their household.
Fair enough. Shall we move on to today's briefings?
Sure.
All right.
Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. State-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Health Department officials are staffing the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online.
Nice recovery. Moving on to state-level stuff, 5 rural counties have been approved to move into Phase 2 of the state's reopening plan. Pierce and King counties are not among them. The Washington Emergency Management Division advises that if you or a loved one are experiencing distress and need someone to talk to, call 1-866-4-CRISIS. The Employment Security Department notes that those who are not first-time unemployment filers can help reduce web traffic by submitting your weekly claims via automated phone system after 6 p.m. The number is 1-800-318-6022. Licensed healthcare, public, and support professionals who want to volunteer in response to federal, state, or local emergencies can register at waserve.org. You will be added to a database of those willing to serve for the COVID-19-related emergency needs as well as during other disasters or emergencies. State officials urge families not to delay regularly scheduled childhood immunizations and booster shots, as well as vaccinations for pregnant individuals. Additionally, there's no reason to delay or avoid medical treatment for urgent or chronic conditions unrelated to COVID-19.
Regionally, the City of Lakewood has canceled or rescheduled many spring and summer events. The Ray Evans Memorial Fishing Event, Summerfest, and the Lakewood Night Market have all been canceled. The Lakewood Farmers Market is slated to start in June with modifications. And the city's July through August summer concert series is still scheduled to take place, but with modifications. National Night Out, which is usually held throughout cities the first Friday in August, has been pushed back to October.
Starting Monday, May 11th, all Amtrak customers except small children will have to wear a face covering while on trains, at stations, or on service buses.
Brown Bear Car Wash locations are now open.
Retail stores are now permitted to have a limited number of employees working to fulfill online orders, home delivery, or curbside pickup. Employees must wear face coverings and gloves when bringing merchandise to customers' cars and must disinfect any surfaces touched during the delivery process. Employees with temperatures above 100.4 degrees must stay at home and report their illness to a supervisor. Social distancing must be maintained at workplaces, and any employee meetings must be limited to 9 or fewer individuals.
I think with a lot of these sort of reopenings, a lot of us are looking forward to, I guess, just getting out and waving and saying hi while continuing that little distance. So it's kind of an interesting and slightly awkward experience that we're, I think, all navigating together.
Yeah.
So while we were staying separately but together, now we're a little bit closer, but not too close.
I like that we're getting there, and I like that it's happening in phases. I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a good thing, too, and I'm hoping that it will be one of the things that will prevent, you know, further transmission, further strain on the economy, further strain on individuals, and further strain on people's health.
Yeah, and not treating the state as an atomic unit, I also think, is a good idea.
Yeah, it was a neat way of looking at it, and this is a great time to be getting outside, and I'm really excited that a lot of trails and parks are starting to open again.
Indeed. Dialing 311 for the city of Tacoma. Well, we'll connect you to the city of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. I'll get it right someday. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now into the interview.
With me today, I'm excited to welcome Noah Struthers. He's the executive director at Second Cycle in Tacoma.
Hi, hello.
Welcome. Introduce us to what Second Cycle really is.
Second Cycle is a nonprofit community bike shop that's here to support and educate and empower people to use their bicycles. Second Cycle really envisions a world where the joy of riding a bike is accessible to everybody. And we do that through a variety of programs and also just being a community center that's incredibly inclusive and incredibly inviting and just draws people in a very like non-exclusive manner. And our mission really is to demystify and normalize bike riding as a part of daily life and realize the bicycle as a tool of personal and community empowerment. I think bike shops have kind of a bad rap. And it's all like Lycra and carbon fiber bikes and super expensive things. And it's viewed a lot largely by the public as like sort of this exclusionary place. But we try to break down those barriers and invite people into the everyday use of bicycles.
Sounds really cool. I can see that using bicycles as a tool for personal empowerment could be really empowering if, you know, you don't have another, like, I don't know, a powered vehicle, right? That could be really cool. But can you talk about how you see bikes as tools for community empowerment?
Yeah. So when I think about community empowerment, I think about how people are kind of drawn together and connect with each other. And when you're sort of in your car, and you're moving about your neighborhood just in your own little steel box, you don't notice as many things. So I think that one of the first steps to getting motivated to move is just by noticing what's in your neighborhood and noticing what's going on and like seeing the streets and seeing the people that are around you. I think kind of in a roundabout way, like bikes can be a tool of community empowerment that way. Bikes can be sort of a common denominator to a group of people. Like we have a women's trans femme night every couple of weeks, and we empower people to gather from those groups that might not have as much representation in the stereotypical like bike world. And also just like fixing your own bike is what we do really on a daily basis in our community tool space.
What's shop time? How do we fix our own bike?
Well, right now, under the COVID-19 orders, we're not having our community tool space. But the rest of the time, for the last 10 years, we've had a community tool space where people can get access to tools and knowledge and resources to fix their own bike. So the way that works is you can come in, you can rent a stand, you can get some assistance. We have like varying levels of assistance that you can get, anywhere from like hands-on, one-on-one, like tutoring to, hey, I just need the wrench. I can do this myself. I've learned how to do this myself here before. I don't need help anymore. So people can come in and get tools and resources to be empowered to fix their own stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So empowerment really for me is about agency, you know? And if you have the agency to fix your own things, you're not dependent on people. So that's how we kind of, on the daily, really empower people.
So you talked a little bit about some of the stereotypes of who's in the bicycling community, you know, Lycra, elite, maybe expensive things. But who are your clients and customers and members?
We just serve everyone. We're kind of the people's bike shop. A lot of the bike shops kind of like send folks here that they can't necessarily help. We have used parts that we get donated from the community. So we have a lot more accessible pricing a lot of the times. So it's really just a very wide array of people. So So I would say a lot of our focus is particularly on people that are using the bikes as transportation, not just as like a recreational device on the weekends. So people that are using the bikes as a necessary means of transportation, not like an alternative means of transportation. It's like their only means of transportation. I would say a lot of folks from the neighborhood that may not be able to afford cars that are using bikes to get around because they need to. And we operate our space on a sliding scale. So people can get access to a lot of tools and resources for very cheap and or free.
We should say where you're actually located, because you're really right in the heart of Hilltop.
Yeah. We're at 1205 Martin Luther King Way. Been here for since 2014.
You started out from different kinds of means, right? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the history of Second Cycle?
Yeah. We started out in 2008 in basically a basement garage, and there was a handful of bike messengers and people that moved down from Seattle and college kids from UPS that had basically just decided they wanted a community bike project and they wanted a place where they could work on their own bikes. And we started out just really modestly in this like basically 200 square foot like basement garage, and we were there for a summer, and then we moved to a storage unit. It was a whopping like 300 or 400 square feet. It was right behind like Lele's, that area, but we were right in the alley space. You had to use a little like treasure map to find the space. It was just a real hole in the wall. And then in 2011, we decided to move to a storefront to be more accessible and have a place with bathrooms and just more visible. And we just kind of kept on growing and figuring it out. I'm a bike mechanic that figured out how to work at a nonprofit. I'm not somebody that has like a nonprofit background that figured out how to work at a bike shop. So I just kind of learned how to run a nonprofit over the last like 10 years. And we started adding more board members, getting more connections, building more reputations. And this whole time we just had more and more like kids show up to see what was going on. You know, kids ride bikes and they just kept on showing up and needed stuff to do. So we decided to do more programming for that. And we started building out like an Earn a Bike program, our summer camp. And then the Pierce County Juvenile Court, they contacted us to see if we wanted to do any like diversion programming. So we started doing diversion programming with the Pierce County Juvenile Court.
Can you talk about the Juvenile Detention Alternatives program that you work with? Because that seemed really innovative.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. It's basically kind of the impetus for it is that the idea is that kids do better when they're not in jail, you know?
What a concept.
Outcome, right? Yeah. So the state and like our particular juvenile court is like very aware of how outcomes don't improve when the state gets involved. So what they try to do is they try and like have less kids in jail. And some of the numbers that they like in 2003, I believe 2004, like there was the average number of kids that they had at the Pierce County Juvenile Court was something along the lines like 200 kids a day. And like currently they're serving probably around 20 kids a day at the juvenile detention center. A real like astonishing kind of reduction in the average number of kids that are in the Pierce County Juvenile Court system like every day. And our small role, we're a number of like community partners that provide an alternative to detention. So we provide education and community service opportunities. And basically the kids come in, they learn how to work on a different part of the bike, and they help us strip bikes for parts. They help us do shop operations, and they also get to go on a group ride and learn like safe riding skills. Just as like an alternative to going to jail, they get opportunities to engage with something they might be passionate about in the future.
It sounds really cool and possibly transformative for, I guess, not just the kids, but anyone really working with the organization. I wanted to ask, what keeps you personally drawn to the job? You know, you said that you are a bike mechanic that kind of fell into operating a nonprofit. But what keeps you there as opposed to working for maybe a commercial or private enterprise?
For me, I love bikes. I love seeing people get passionate about bikes. I like seeing our communities transform. I want to have like a stake in the game and try and see more and more people riding bikes and bikes becoming a part of daily life. And this is my small way of being able to be a part of that. I believe in bikes as a way to transform our urban environments and get less cars out on the streets and have less pollution. I just believe in the bike itself as a positive tool for transformation in our communities and our environment. So I'm a kind of an evangelist when it comes to bicycles, and this is the best way for me to support that community and spread the love for bikes, you know? And what keeps me coming back to this project is just how it's always changing and how it's always developing, and that's always something new. I've had to grow and adapt, and the organization has had to grow and adapt.
So there's not many things that we can do in terms of gathering right now, currently, but in terms of being able to be maintaining that 6-foot distance from others outside our household, bikes seem to be actually a pretty good way to do that. Can you describe or discuss any kinds of programs that you have going on right now that would allow Tacomans to avoid coming into contact with others but still be out and about in the city using their bikes?
Yeah, I mean, well, first I just want to say that the bicycle has been a great socially distant tool for me, not just in this moment, but most of my bike riding that I do personally is like by myself, you know? So the bike really is just a great, is kind of having a good moment right now. And a lot of people are realizing this is something that can get me out of my neighborhood. This is something that's like safe for me to do. This is something that can bring me back to the present moment, and I can like explore my city. So the bike's really not just in Tacoma, but worldwide. The bike is having a moment. From Paris and New York, they're shutting down like major streets. They're making more ways for people to bike around. So not just in Tacoma, but like worldwide, the bike's kind of having a moment right now. One of the things that we're doing to get people out and encourage people, because it is bike month and we typically have like a bunch of events, on May 24th at 1 p.m., we're going to have a bike and seek scavenger hunt, a socially distanced scavenger hunt. We'll be hiding prizes in 6 different locations around Tacoma for everybody to find while they're out riding their bike. You can find out more about our event on our Facebook page and our Instagram page and our website.
And what are those websites, Instagram pages, Facebook pages? Where are the ways that people can follow up and learn more about Second Cycle?
You can find us at secondcycle.org. It's 2ndcycle.org. Or you can find us at Second Cycle, at 2ndcycle at Facebook, or Second Cycle at Instagram as well.
In case any of our listeners don't have access to internet and would want to call the shop, is there a phone number?
Yeah, you can call us at 253-327-1916.
And just the shop is open at this time, right? Because in terms of being part of transportation, you're deemed an essential business?
Yeah, we are open to a limited capacity. Like I said earlier in the interview, our community tool space is closed, but we are open for sales, service, and repairs. And we are offering free adjustments and flat fixes to those in need, or those affected by COVID-19, or those that are unemployed from the restaurant industry. Really, we're doing free brake adjustments, gear adjustments, and flat fixes to anybody that has a financial barrier. We will fix your bike, you know, with like minor repairs and adjustments and flat fixes is what we can't rebuild a whole entire bike for free, but we can do minor repairs and adjustments and flat fixes to those in need right now. And our regular sales and service, used bikes, new bikes, new parts and accessories, everything's open. We just only allow 2 people into the shop at a time in order to maintain safe social distance. And we have been busy. There's usually a line, so if you're going to come down, please bring your patience and grace. Yeah, but otherwise we're open Tuesday through Friday, 12 to 6. And on Saturday, we're open 10 to 6. We're just closed Sunday and Monday.
Well, Noah, thank you so much for taking us through a little tour of Second Cycle in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Noah Struthers is the executive director at Second Cycle.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma on an emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number where you can call or text us is 253-330-8821. Talk to you on Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.